Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is Tuesday, the last Tuesday of November, November 29th, 2023. And you have tuned in to Ralph Pointer, What's Happening. And if you have tuned into this blog talk program tonight, then you know you are someone that is interested in... Sorry about that. You know you're someone that's interested in an anatomy of oppression that requires an anatomy of colonialism. And in American culture, we are under one of the most horrific forms of capitalism that has ever existed in human time. So tonight I'm going to read our thing, and then I'm going to ask my comrade and mate and partner to elaborate on it a little bit. So if you got one of our emails, then you know this is What's Happening, and this is Blog Radio, and you can call in on 347-857-3293. And our theme tonight is one of Ralph Pointer's prophecies. He's prophesied this. We are living through the greatest changes in 2,000 years, ecologically and economically. We are in a state of total chaos. What must be done? What must we do? Ralph Pointer, the mic is yours. You want to take it from there?
Oh, good evening, my brothers and sisters. Good to be back with you one more time. And it is very clear, you know, the things that we see, the dollar value that we go to bed with tonight, tomorrow morning, and we just go straight ahead. The weather is not consistent, and we just go straight ahead. And so culture is not consistent. We just go straight ahead. And so something must change. We must build a center. And as Noam Chomsky says, as long as the center stands, the center is fascist. We are run by political entities that are corrupt and have no interest in what we consider human values for all of the people. The beautiful words of the Declaration of Independence and all of those noble documents. We, the people, have to say, this is where we're going to. We have to organize ourselves. And that's organizing is a very difficult term. It's someone said, yes, herding cats and herding our philosophies into those simple philosophies that people can understand and work toward. And I'm saying, always mindful of the fact that we are in a capitalist society where capital is king. And so we want capital for ourselves. We want capital for our children. We want capital for those less fortunate, but we don't want these billion-dollar parachute buyouts. We can't have that. The society and the economy cannot handle it. And with that said, I go to you, my sisters and brothers, for answers. And Sister Betty, will you take it from there? To Betty. Sister Betty.
As always, we start off with poetry, and we are blessed in honor of Sister Lynn to have more than one poet in the house. So since we've got a poet that where she's calling from is 2 a.m., Professor Louis has been so gracious as to allow us to call on our sister, the daughter of Richard Wright, Julia Wright, and a staunch advocate for Mamiya and all political prisoners, and a total anti-fascist warrior. Sister Wright, your mic is open.
Thank you. So, Ralph, Brother Ralph, you are asking tonight the question that we are in a state of chaos, what must be done, what must we do? So one of the answers that I would like to suggest or whisper tonight to you is, do you hear me? Do you hear me? Do we listen to one another? And my thought goes to those who were returning from Palestine, to those who are witnesses to the genocide, who may be Palestinian or not, who may be most of them journalists, but maybe not, but who are brave enough to go and bear witness and then return to tell us. And we listen to them. And I would like to speak of two beautiful freedom fighters tonight who have done this at their very risk of their lives and who have returned to us at the risk of their lives, and we're glad they're back. And that is our very dear Susan Aburhawa, and also the poet Mossab Abu Toa. These two, I have no words. What they have seen and are bringing back to us is something that we should listen to. So I have a thought for the poet Mossab Abu Toa. You know, of course, that he was abducted along with hundreds of other Palestinians on his way down to southern Gaza on 18th of November. He disappeared. He was allegedly beaten. We will find more out about his conditions as the days go by. He wrote a poem before that. He was released since then, and he will be in Washington, D.C. on January 12th to read from his poetry. But I would just like to read a few lines from one of his poems called Younger Than War. He says, I wrote this poem last year reflecting on my childhood under Israeli military occupation. I'm reading this poem to myself and wondering if my children will be able to write poems about the bombs and explosions they are seeing. I was 8 the first time I witnessed a rocket. My son, Yazan, who is 8 years old, asks me, quote, are our toys still alive, unquote. And here are a few lines from his poem. Warplanes that look like eagles searching for a tree branch to perch on, catch breath, but these metal eagles are catching souls in a blood bone soup bowl. No need for radio. We are the news. So he's written Things You May Find Hidden in My Ear, and he will be in Washington, D.C. on January 12th to read his poems. And having also listened to Susan Aburhawa, who's likewise returned from, she brought together a delegation with the National Lawyers Guild of international journalists with the intention of going to the Rafah crossing to bear witness to how AIDS was allegedly entering into Gaza there. However, the delegation was prevented from going to Rafah. However, she witnessed a lot when she was there. And when I saw her on a Zoom last Saturday, I was shocked by the weight she had lost and by her eyes, her gaze. And I wrote a poem dedicated to her and to Masaba Butoa. Witnesses returned from Gaza, hollow-eyed, their gaze turned inwards with each petrified tear, turned into a dead child's stone since thrown. The sight of genocide burns and calcifies into the mind. Those who return have seen what they cannot unsee, and the memorial has yet to come because there has been no burial. They return trying to find the words, but the horror is lost in translation. There is no lexicon for the barbarism they try to bear witness to, except at times their memory of the white hot sky let through a luminous whisper, a song, a poem, a rap, breaking the barrier of maddening sound. They return and speak with their broken collective heart of the people's hope, and we hear them. Thank you.
Sister Betty.
Thank you so much. Brother Ralph, did you want to comment before we go to Professor Louis?
We'll go to Professor Louis, and I just want to remind everyone, these are archived. You can listen to this wonderful poetry over and over again.
One of the things we keep hearing again and again from people who then love us is that our poetry, our stories, our reports are authentic from people, and I know Ralph hates this phrase, whose boots are on the ground. And I'm honored always when I get on this program, because there is no one on this program that has not been vetted on the front lines fighting fascism. So without further ado, Professor Louis, who goes way back to when they were lynching people for voting, and he showed up, your mic is open.
Lies, lies, whoppers and lies, lies that rise right to the skies. Don't drink the Kool-Aid, don't eat the French fries. It's lies, lies, whoppers and lies. We live our lives surrounded by lies. Everybody gets crazy, it's no big surprise. You can't seal the deal on what's really real. How you gonna know how you even feel? That TV in your place lies right in your face. You need our bank to win the race. Get McDonald's, it's a happy meal. Heart attack, diabetes, and stroke, that's for real. And the beautiful people drink Coors beer. Never fear, it's clear, there's no drunk beer bellies here. Buy this car, get that girl. Buy this phone, get the whole world. And don't scram, here's the program. Wham, a police show. Good-looking cops want justice. There they go on the show. These police are all so good. They stood for everyone in the neighborhood. But meet a real cop on a real street. He'll curse your ass and beat your meat. And on TV, you can see working people are not that smart. TV racists and gangsters always have a heart. And that internet you get is amazing. It's true. But you better watch what it's telling you. What if sometimes Google lies? No big surprise, it's some filthy rich guys. That's who decides what's right or wrong, what's a good song. The history of the whole world, real short, not long. And Facebook gives a good, good friend. It don't send when this friend is gonna end. Is it a lie or just part of the deal? To know if your friend is even real, and you call up a billion-dollar corporation. Here's the situation. No one's home. They didn't pay nobody to answer the phone. You get a robot lying with that voice you trust. Your call is important to us. You got liberal news, conservative news, whatever views you choose, they all give you the blues. They ask some questions, but for what it's worth, they all say our country's the greatest country on earth, and it's hard to ignore who really started the war. Thousands dead or more, are we still good people down to the core, and will the news get sore if we ask what the war was for? And you already know about politicians' lies. They get the prize for lies right in front of your eyes. That politician gets a liar for hire, and when he gets tired, the liar gets fired. And a real big whopper through and through, sad but true, is the lie that this guy cares about you. And there is no doubt when you figure it out, establishment, liberal, Democratic Party bullshit is better than racist, fascist, Republican Party bullshit. But a lie is a lie is a lie. And there is some stuff that just won't fly. You're looking at two corporate parties, corporate in their money raising, corporate in their priorities, both ready to throw you under the bus all the time, saying we and us, like working people and billionaires got something in common, while they stay on top and keep us on the bottom. It's lies, lies, whoppers and lies, lies that rise right to the skies. Lies like the devil in disguise. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Don't eat the French fries. It's lies, lies, whoppers and lies.
Thank you, Professor Louis. As always, perfect, right on time. Brother Ralph, Comrade Ralph.
Is there any need to explain those words? No. Just listen to it again. And again, and again, and maybe after a while, you will understand, Professor Louis, for waking us up each week. Sister Betty.
All right. Let's keep it rolling. Jericho's in the house, and there's so many Jerichos in the house, I'm just going to open up all the mics, and they can decide who wants to give their report first. And people, don't underestimate the power of Jericho. Every time there is a political prisoner in trouble, Jericho was there. And we will never forget our comrade Sophia, who was able to organize and set up this organization. So Jericho from Boston, Brother Kazi. Jericho from Ohio, Jericho from New York, Sister Ann. And Jericho from Ohio, Jan, your mic is open.
Let me pass it on and get the information from New York especially. And also tomorrow night there'll be information about an event for Sekou. So let me give people that information. Let me let them take it on.
Right on. Thank you, my brother. All right, New York.
Okay. It's so great to hear Ralph's voice, I must say. Fantastic. Anyway, so we'll start with the event for our dear comrade, Sekou Odinga. That will be tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. On YouTube, and they just sent me the actual link. So you don't have to look for it on the Black Power Media YouTube channel. So if you go to our website, jerichony.org, you will see an upcoming event, an event for Wednesday, November 29th, for Baba Sekou Odinga. And I put the link there at the bottom of the page. So you can just click on the link for the live stream, and you will find it immediately. As people probably know who listen to this program, Baba Sekou was recently ill. He was in the hospital. He was hospitalized on September 3rd. He had serious health complications. He was released to a rehab. Then he suffered from more complications. He had to go back to the hospital. Now he's finally back to rehab, and he's receiving therapy and the additional support that he requires. So this virtual fundraiser and tribute is to support De Cruz's therapeutic rehabilitation and healing, as well as support his wife, De Cruz, and his family as they support him. So there's also a GoFundMe page, and that link is also at jerichonly.org. So even if you can't make the event, you can still donate some funds. Always helpful. And it will start at 7 p.m. It's on Black Power Media. I put the actual direct link, the direct YouTube link, right on the page here, so people can just click on it. It takes you right there. Should be an excellent event, and very important that we support Baba Sekou and any other of our elders who come home and are faced with not having, you know, sufficient medical insurance and so on and so forth, as we know. Now, I do have another update on a political prisoner from Shaka Shakur. Shaka Shakur was going back and forth with this cancer they had found in his kidney. So he just sent us this report yesterday. He said, I would like to thank everyone that sent letters, emails, and or made calls on my behalf in regards to my medical situation and status. As most people are aware, I had a partial kidney removal surgery in early April to remove a large tumor that had been determined to be cancerous. After the surgery, there were contradictory reports and diagnoses given about the margins of the wound not being clear of cancerous cells, so we had to push for further testing. Yeah, he was definitely getting contradictory reports, I can tell you that. As a result of the people's support, I was taken back out to VCU Hospital a couple of weeks ago and given a CT scan. That was after I had recently been given an MRI, and both test results and findings came back as seeing no further evidence of any cancer cells. This is significant. Yeah, it sure is. Good news. I was told that I would be scheduled to see a urologist as a follow-up and that I would be taken out every 6 months for an MRI or a CT scan as a form of monitoring to make sure that the cells do not return. I can accept this and feel comfortable with it. The report did mention several cysts remaining on both kidneys that they are calling simple cysts. There's a rather large cyst that is located in my liver that they didn't really give any kind of diagnosis of. So we shall just remain vigilant as it pertains to any future diagnosis. Again, I would like to thank all comrades and supporters for the love, support, and solidarity. All power to the people, free the land. Shaka Shakur. So that's some good news. And then, switching over to the ongoing genocidal war, we know what, you know, the prevailing narrative in this country has been, you know, and we know what the prevailing narrative has always been around our freedom fighters and political prisoners, so we shouldn't be surprised that it's the same prevailing narrative. So we got this lovely letter I found on my readings about Palestine, which I do send out every day as much as possible. This is one of the Israeli detainees who was detained by the Al-Qassam Brigade. And
okay,
she wrote this lovely letter.
Be aware of the time. If the letter is long, just give us an excerpt.
Oh, no, it's very short.
I'll read it
right now. It's only a paragraph. To the commanders who have accompanied me in recent weeks, it seems we will part ways tomorrow. But I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your extraordinary humanity that you have shown towards my daughter, Amelia. Her daughter is six. You treated her like your own. You welcomed her in your room whenever she walked in. She says that you are all her friends, not just acquaintances. You are her true and good loved ones. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the countless hours you spent with her as caregivers. Thank you for being patient with her and showering her with sweets, fruits, and everything available, even if it wasn't readily accessible. Children should not be in captivity, but thanks to you and other kind-hearted individuals and leaders we have met during our presence here, my daughter considered herself a queen in Gaza and felt like she was the center of the world. We did not meet a single person, whether a member or reader, during our long stay in Gaza who did not treat her with kindness, tenderness, and love. I will forever be a captive of gratitude because she will not leave this place with a permanent psychological trauma. I will remember your kind manners which you showed in here despite the difficult situation you were coping with yourselves and the heavy losses that befell you here in Gaza. I wish in this world that we could be really good friends one day. I wish you all good health and well-being. Health and love to you and your families. Thank you so very much, Danielle and Amelia.
Wow. Thank you, Sister Anne. That was a letter. Brother Kazi and Brother John, do you want to add anything more in terms of
no.
Jericho in the house?
No. I'm just listening to Diana. Thank you, Anne, for that beautiful report. And it's good to hear your voice, Ralph. On the move. Free them all.
On the move.
That's your call. Free them all.
All right. We're going to move right along. If it's all right with Jericho, Sister Anne, who did you say wrote that letter again?
That was written by one of the Israeli hostages. Her name is Danielle Aloni.
You're saying a hostage?
Right.
A hostage.
Yes, she was
did I hear you right?
She was, yes, she was an Israeli person who was captured by Hamas. And her name is Danielle Aloni, and her daughter's name is Amelia. And she wrote this letter thanking the Al-Qassam brigades before she left.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. That does lift my heart. All right, let's go to Brother Henry. As we say, we have rounded up the usual suspects. Thank you, Jericho. Thank you, Jericho.
Thank you, Sister Betty. I want to share a few books that help to examine and help us to understand the vicious nature of imperialism and capitalism. And
yes.
So I will share a book. Some of these books have been written some years ago, but are worth revisiting. One is called Who Rules America by William Domhoff.
Oh, yes, my favorite, one of my favorites.
Good. Good in the sense that it's illuminating. The second one is called The Power Elite by C. Wright Mills. The third book is The Protestant Ethic and the Spirit of Capitalism by Max Weber. The fourth book is At Dawn We Slept by Gordon Prang. And he did a comprehensive analysis of the attack on Pearl Harbor. And we conclude that it was a setup by the imperialists themselves to justify going to war. The fifth book is entitled Passing It On by Yuri Kochiyama. And she relates her experience of having been dispossessed from her home, her father being brutalized, and the family being placed in a concentration camp in, I think it's Hattiesburg, Alabama. The sixth book is called Heartbeat of Struggle, written by Diane Futino, who evaluated or gave an analysis of Yuri's life as a activist. The seventh book is entitled Grasshoppers and Elephants by Wilfred Burchett, and he gives a critical historical view of the Vietnam War. And then finally is a book entitled Neocolonialism, The Last Stage of Imperialism by Kwame Nkrumah. So those books I would recommend for people who want to refresh their memories or people who want to expand their knowledge about the viciousness of this system that we're living in.
I thank you so much for that. If there is time at the end of the program, I'm going to ask you to repeat that list. If there is not time at the beginning of the next program, I'm going to ask you to repeat that list. Wonderful. And we've got to move on, but I thank you. And anybody who wants to, in the next program, discuss one of the books briefly and explain to our audience why it's important to read this, please.
Okay, Sister Betty, yeah, my pleasure.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. We got to move right along. So many wonderful people are on. I don't know who to go to next, but I guess we better go to Brother Sieto and Joel, you're up. Don't go anywhere. Thank you, Brother Henry Higgins. Thank you. Any of those books? Brother Ralph? Okay.
Education. That's what we are about. And so, yes, listen, learn. And as I say, we learn on this program as much and more than other people learn, because the open mind is the open way to progress. Back to you, Sister Betty.
All right. Brother Cierto, your mic is open. Thank you for waiting. And again, thank you, Brother.
I want to do a correction on today's date, though. Today is Tuesday, the 28th of November.
Thank you. I made the mistake. I sent the correction out. Thank you, Brother Cierto.
Hey, we all do it. We all do it, believe me. I'd like to bring up again, the only reason why genocide occurs across the globe is due to resources. You know, the hunting of African skin by the colonizer. Capitalistic colonialism is on a rise right now. We spoke last week briefly on Sudan. Like Congo, tonight, and the minerals like lithium and cobalt are key components in the batteries that can support the world's transition away from fossil fuels, which is what the goal is. So as we see, as is going on in Palestine, there is no intent that after the return of so-called kidnapped Israelis, that not continue, because the resource there in Gaza is fossil fuel. I think that everybody on here knows what's really going on. We're no longer hoodwinked. We're no longer tricked, duped, no longer the suckers. We've been generationally charged with having the knowledge of what really is happening, not to just Palestinians, not to just Venezuelans, not to just Mexicanos or Mexicanos whose land was stolen here. It's happening to all of us. I beseech everyone, as I keep saying, the call is what? To work collectively. Because we're up against a ravenous beast that devours millions of people in genocidal initiatives. This is what this capitalism was rest upon, in its parasitic manners, was annihilation of people, annihilation of humanity, annihilation of even spirit in an individual, to break down individuals that we don't think for ourselves. We begin to think the way that we're taught or trained to do so by a common enemy called colonial mode of production. Those books that were spoken on earlier, and the eloquent speaker with the poetry, that we are doing those things. And Brother Ralph Pointer, who has all of his life fought for our liberation, Sister Betty Davis, Sister Ann Lamb, my hat is off to all of you. I'm not going to say much tonight, but this is the reason for genocide. Genocide is for the colonial mode of production, for the very, very wealthy. Because at the end of the day, even those in this country think that they're doing a white supremacist, or they're doing a maneuver that puts them on top, will clearly find out that once all others are devoured, they will come after you too. I say that. So please go to Hands Off of Huru. .org. Please study. The Omali taught me on Sundays on YouTube, Burning Spirit TV. Please read the Burning Spirit newspaper. It comes out gospel and dynamic paper about us. I want to say that I love everyone that I always come in contact. Even if I'm not on, I listen intently to a program such as Ralph Pointer's What's Happening, because there's no other program that devotes itself to our liberation as relentless as this program has. I'll say that, and I'll say uhuru, and let's go as a collective to war against this hunting of us and our global. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for the correction with the date. You don't know how much I appreciate it. I just want to say to the listeners tonight, this broadcast is brought to you with great concern about the theme, which is the greatest changes in 2,000 years ecologically and economically are occurring. We are in a state of chaos. What must be done? What must we do? Brother Joel, your mic is open. I hope you can give us some words of wisdom. Brother Ralph, if you can, we hope you'll hang around to try to give us a summation.
Yes, I'm listening for Professor Joel Meyer. Professor Meyer, tell us what we must do.
And we have to thank Professor Ferrero for helping us get there. All right, Brother Joel, your mic is open. Joel?
Yes,
okay,
I think
good.
That what we're witnessing now is an epochal change. If you look at the, because, you know, we talk about resources and the capitalist wars and how all of these things are interconnected exactly in that way. And it's been going on for even before the rise of capitalism, but capitalism intensified this struggle among the elites, among the people that the wealth would flow to, the way the world has been organized. But we look at capitalism as a so-called more advanced system in the sense that it brought about means of technology and so on, which could be used everyone on Earth. But instead, as soon as new technology is developed, its application is generally in how to kill more people and to keep more people in a more advanced form of slavery, which is, again, what imperialism is. It's the enslavement of people by whole nations at a time. We could see how the, for example, in the when capitalism first took hold in England, that's where it quickly developed into genocide, principally against the Irish. It became a much more intense genocidal struggle. The slogan of the British was "To hell or to come off," which was a small part of Ireland towards which the British had the idea of concentrating the whole Irish people, ethnically cleansing the entire island, and writing about leaving only a few hundred alive in a country that had consisted of millions of people. I believe the population went down, if I remember correctly, from approaching 10 million to only 4 million in the end. It was 400,000. I'm not sure, but it was the rehearsal for the settler genocide against the native people in the Americas, which was just celebrated by the establishment and the opinion of that it distorts to glorify their accomplishments, so-called accomplishments of genocide and so on in Thanksgiving, and many of us heard the speeches. I recommend everyone should go to the Thanksgiving commemoration that takes place in Plymouth Rock, New England, every year. I expected it to be an enjoyable and educational and energetic rally that prepares people for organizing and deepening our understanding of why this genocidal capitalist system has to be overthrown. But it was much more than that. It was and this happened each time I went there, it's almost as being transported into another world spiritually because of the attitude of and the struggle and perspicacity and spirituality of the entire event. We could begin to measure what the human mentality is already like among gatherings and so on, but could be like as the normal mentality, and it really is the normal human mentality around the world. That is how to keep improving life and how to look at things from that point of view instead of the point of how you can rob, rape, and steal, and lie, and take advantage of people. And I know this quote was brought about during the COVID period, but it came from Bill Gates. And as people may know, he was the chief executive of IBM Corporation, and several times Fortune magazine's most wealthy person in the world. That is, I think at that time it was about $60 billion that he personally owned. It's gone up since then. I remember he kept that title until he had $80 billion, and then he was surpassed by a few others and so on. But what did he say? He said that the world population must be reduced by at least 20%. 20% of the world population, it must be reduced. And he framed it in something that appeals to a lot of naive, progressive people, that it was necessary to do this in order to cut the use of fossil fuels and other carbon emissions and thereby save the planet, except for that 20%, which would probably grow into a much larger percentage. And so the mentality of these people, and he's considered one of the more progressive of those of that degree of wealth, it's all really focused on genocide. All of it is focused on genocide around the world. And there's another material factor in this, and that is that with automation and technology in the hands of the capitalists, what that means is that they don't really need working people any longer. They can have a much smaller force of people produce all of the wealth that would make them as comfortable as they want to be. And they don't need the rest of us. The rest of us, for them, are just a burden and a cost. And that's really what the system is going into now more and more. And we see around the world that in the absence of a more organized and globally conscious anti-imperialist resistance, we see that now in Argentina, we have someone who's campaigning as pretty much an open fascist, has just been given the reins of power, not the real power, but making the chief stooge and poisoning people's minds with fascist ideology. We see also in the Netherlands or Holland, which used to be considered a very progressive and forward-looking area. Now we have Geert Wilders, who just took over there, based on a murderous hatred, very often where incidents have been incited by this person that led to actual racial attacks and deaths, mainly against immigrants, but they mean non-European immigrants in the Netherlands. And what else are they doing at the same time? They're restricting the agricultural population from growing. It's one of the chief sources of food in Europe, and they're ordering the farmers not to grow any more food. One of the rationales given is that the cattle, for example, give off gases, including methane, which will contribute to global warming. So they're making this appeal to the naive, but all of that, the idea of cutting food production in and using that as a pilot project for the entire world to emulate, means that they are planning for a much smaller, reduced population to survive the genocidal plans that are afoot all around the world. Although now, right now, of course, what's happening in Gaza and the Zionist entity, what is happening out there is one of the material facts not spoken of very often, although it was mentioned earlier in this discussion, but many people, it hasn't really registered, but there's been a discovery of oil and natural gas right off the coast of Gaza.
Oh, my God.
And this is one of the, this is probably, I use that word probably, but it's really definitely one of the major causes that all of this is going on, and why the conflict there has escalated to such a more intense and numerically larger form of genocide than the slower motion form that's been going on there ever since the founding of the Israeli state at the hands of settler colonialism there, but also at the hands of the West. And this goes all the way back really to the Crusades. The Crusades ended not by a peace treaty or anything like that. It ended in a petering out of the energy when a certain equilibrium was achieved when the Christians reconquered Spain and when the Muslim world was able to establish itself in Turkey. And a certain equilibrium was reached, and then there was the expansion of the West into the United States, and the transformation of that into a much much more violent and brutal and technologically equipped imperialism than the world has ever the world has ever seen before. But we're looking at a battle that's been taking place really for thousands of years. Now, if you look at the wars that directly shaped the direction of history, they took in that very small area around the hub of the eastern hub of the Mediterranean, And the battle today is taking place in a decisive way, not only because of the technology and brutality of imperialism, but also because that same technology holds before us a world where we can all live as human beings and where we won't be figuring out ways to divide and conquer and commit genocide on targeted nations of the world as this rotates from one place to another. We can have a really human, really humanistic world where there's an abundance of material that would satisfy all human needs and go beyond that to many luxuries and solve these problems, like the environmental problems and everything else. These are all within material ability to solve these questions technologically and through the advance of science and other means, but only if they're applied with a scientific understanding of what human spirituality is all about, and they're applied to the purpose of improving human life in every way, instead of the only alternative that will occur, which is the intensification of genocide as we see it now and as it gets worse. And this means that we must begin to organize, because when people go out and fight for liberation, they get that feeling again of a really spiritual relationship of love for the rest of humanity. That's Che Guevara said it, I think, at the risk of sounding ridiculous, that revolution is really based on love, and it is. We know what the alternative is, and we know that the only way that we could survive, not only physically but also in a way where we could legitimately call ourselves human for the first time, and transform the world into one where there are no landlords and bankers and billionaires and trillionaires that have gotten that money by the wealth that's measured in terms of money, dead money, that is the dead product of living labor, that we could legitimately call ourselves fully human. And
thank you, Joel. I hate to say it, but we've come to the end. And I had wanted Brother Henry to read his list, but you have really given us a program tonight, and I want to thank you, and I apologize for cutting you off. Brother Ralph, you want to try and take us home before we go to Brother Henry?
Yes, as usual. This is a history that many or most of us are not aware of. And this is a look into the future of the American philosophy in terms of energy. They are going to continue using fossil fuel until there is no more. And so we have to look to that in our future. Thank you so much.
Well, I cannot thank this crew. I thank Jericho, Sister Ann, and all the rest of you for an amazing program this evening. Brother Henry, just the first three books on your list, if you will. Just the first three books.
Okay, Sister Betty. The first book is entitled Who Rules America by William Domhoff. The second book is The Power Elite by C. Wright Mills. The third book is The Protestant Ethic and the Spirit of Capitalism by Max Weber.
right, brother. Thank you so much, everybody. Brother Ralph, take us home.
My brother and sister, thank you again for taking up your time to be with us in this moment of chaos. But we have opportunity to make changes with our actions. And tune in tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, 99.5 on your FM dial, and listen to what we can do, our plans down here on the ground to make changes. Thanks again. Love you all.
And we'll be talking about imperialism. You're right, Brother Ralph. Thank you all. Thank you all. And good night.